Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the boy, "There's a fight that's going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight. And this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It is full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, however, the other wolf is good. This wolf is full of joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Now this same fight is going on inside you," he tells the boy, "inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute. He looked up and asked the grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee just simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Yeah.
It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, que tal? Oki, namaste, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Live every Monday and Wednesday night, live on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffect. Of course, all shows are archived on your favorite listening podcast platform. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties every live show, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. Some call him the Lions Historian. Some just call him Unc. I call him my best friend, my dad, Bill Green, or simply Daddy-O. What's happening, Daddy-O? Good evening.
What's up, Wilfredo? I was laughing at you because your mic was unmuted, so I was listening to you singing along with that first song. It was kind of deep.
My mic's not muting anymore. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm glad that you didn't speak along with our boy and talk to me.
That's loud enough. So that's loud enough. I thought you was laughing at Petey Green, and you was laughing at Will Green. Doggone it.
Yeah, I had a Dorothy moment, you know, Wizard of Oz. And I woke up this morning. It's like, where the heck am I? You know, it was like 22 degrees, I had to break the scraper out to hit my windshield to try to take my car in. It was like, you know, and I mean, I packed all my winter stuff away. So, I'm like, man, my hands are turning blue. Snot freezing in my nose. I said, well, where am I? I can't be in Texas anymore. You know, so it got deep, man. It's supposed to get deeper yet. You know, it's supposed to snow tomorrow. Yeah, man. You know,
oh, man.
But a dude told me on Monday that, because I told my usual Texas joke, you know, in Texas you have two seasons. January and summer. He said, yeah, that's kind of accurate, but actually it's January and February, you know, as his windshield wipers were, you know, getting the sleet off the windshield. So I said, and then that night, man, you know, I was awakened by the sound of, I didn't even want to venture out to sea, man, but it was like hail. I mean, like drum beating hail, you know, beating up against my winds. And it's like, man, I hope my ride hasn't been destroyed. Yeah, anyway, so, you know, such is life, you know, such is life.
But it made it through okay, right?
Yeah, no dents anywhere.
Yeah, that ride is a beast.
Amazing ride.
I love that ride.
Yeah.
Some of you all might have heard in previous shows that talk about how me and my girl Sue, we took the ride down there to give him a little chance of freedom in the open road down there in the greatest state of Texas.
Yeah. I had been on, you know, driver lockdown for over 8 years, you know, closer to 10, really. So having that, you know, newfound freedom, unfortunately, I've been so institutionalized that it takes me, you know, a minute still to realize, hey, man, you got a car. You're gone. You're not a tree. Move. So anyway, all right, I'm not that. You know, we'll wind up spending the whole show on gratitude, which isn't a bad show.
That's not a bad show at all. You know, we can definitely
But that wasn't the plan for tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. We can definitely use that for another show at another time.
Yeah, which wouldn't be a bad one. Yeah. Gratitude. Can never talk too much about that.
I wonder what the differences would be in gratitude. And I'm just kind of prolonging it so I can get my pen and paper clearing my throat because I want to write that down so I don't forget. I'm just clearing my throat, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, if you listen to the shows before, you know that around this time, there's just a couple of brief reminders that Dad and I like to make sure we get across to you all before we really jump into the meat of the matter for tonight's episode. So, as always, we want to make sure that you grab a pen and paper, a pencil and pad, a post-it note, an envelope, and what else, Dad?
A napkin,
man. You might have a napkin sitting around. Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Subway. I don't know, man. You probably got some of those somewhere. Grab one if you do, man. Get a pen and paper. Something to write with. A napkin. we want to make sure that if you got any questions or any comments that you don't forget these questions or comments. You might even pick something up from our dialogue from tonight, or you might pick something up from our listeners who call in too. So we want to make sure you don't forget anything, you don't miss anything. Write it down. If you don't have a journal yet, you know, get something right with. The second thing is that on our live shows, Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, we offer different ways for you to engage with us. Unlike other podcasts where they're just talking, we like for you all to hit us up. engage with us. Let us know what's on your mind. And there's different ways you can do it. On Blog Talk Radio, they have access to a chat room, which you can engage with your free Blog Talk Radio profile, which you can set up, of course. You can engage and talk with us on the chat room. It's always lively. If you're really feeling a little bit, I don't want to say heroic, but if you're feeling comfortable, let's say a little bit more comfortable, we always welcome you to call in. Our phone line, the number here is 516-453-6094. Again, I'll say it one more time. Hopefully you got that pen and paper handy. Ha, ha, ha. Wink, wink, wink. That's 516-453-6094. Press 1 on the keypad if you want your number to come in our queue. We'll see it in the queue, and then we'll bring you in. So, you know, we always like to know what's on your mind, and we always hope to hear from what do we say? We hope we hear you. Hope we hear you tonight. So we hope we hear you tonight, which is always
good.
And then, of course, Facebook is always open too. So I might catch you on Facebook on the event page if you post anything on the event page that Dad set up tonight. So Dad, you're the host tonight, man. I was reading your event page tonight. It just had you as the host. So I'm gonna sit back and just let you have it.
That's what I forgot to do. I forgot to include. Well, you know, hey, like I said just a little while ago to you, you know, there ain't never been a mic I didn't like. Hey, but I know this is going a little bit off the script, but you know, like we've never done that before, right?
Right,
I noticed
right.
The post you made on Facebook. Go ahead, Hope Chicago. You are truly giving hope to our children and our future.
Yeah.
Great job. So what's up with that, man? What's Hope Chicago?
Yeah, man. Hope Chicago. I'm glad you asked that, too. And Hope Chicago, and I'm still trying to get some more information on this organization.
Amen. That's okay. Yeah.
But I've just catched up. I just caught up on some news here before the show started. And, you know, I want to say that it is it's a 501c3, so that's a nonprofit organization.
Right.
They were just founded in about 2006. And within the last 2-3 days, man, they've provided scholarship opportunities for students so far, for students not just at one school, but at two schools here in Chicago. And we're not talking about just the seniors. All the students who are enrolled right now,
wow,
freshmen,
beautiful,
all the way to the seniors, for this year, these students are eligible to receive a full ride to an Illinois, from what I understand, is a school in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
hey,
the students at Morgan Park and the students at Benito Juarez. So that's, you know, man, you know.
So, man,
don't they
deserve a Black Talk Radio cheer?
Oh, you know, I think that is a good idea. You see how that rhymes kind of a little bit? Yeah, word up.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, that was close enough.
Was it too late? You want to do it again?
Do it again, man. They deserve one, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Triple. Well, okay. Hey. Right on. Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Wow. 1 minute I looked up and we had like an active switchboard, and then, you know, folks have been dropping like flies just like that. So, you know, maybe they'll come back. Hopefully they will.
Hopefully they come back. You know, and maybe we should add that in our reminder as well. You know, technology is only as good, is only good when it works. And sometimes
right.
we have our issues.
I love
issues.
You say that. Yeah.
You know, we have our issues and our hiccups here on Blog Talk Radio. But one of the things that we enjoy about using this particular media, this particular website, is, again, because it offers you all the opportunity to call in and engage with us. So that's why we've always stuck with Blog Talk Radio. But we know that sometimes it can test your patience. And trust me, I had a big lesson on patience today. So, you know, we know that it can test your patience. You know, whether you're listening online or whether you're dialing in, you might get cut off. Either one, we just implore you to you know, just come back in, you know, and
yeah,
you know, just chalk it up to the technology. We didn't cut you off, and if we did, it wasn't on purpose. No, but seriously, no, we just ask that, you know, if you do get cut off, you know, please have some patience and dial back in or go back in online. And hopefully you're not, you know, you're not texting and driving or anything like that. So we want to make sure that you're safe as well. But yeah, just, you know, just one of the things with our website here.
Okay, so, let's get to getting. It's we ain't got. We only have 45 minutes.
Man, we tripping.
It's a lot,
right?
We want to try to cover. Yeah, yeah,
we tripping.
Yeah.
We got all kind of pronunciation issues right now. But
well, you know, but for every pronunciation we think we need to correct, it's just as many people saying, "What's wrong with that?" Go ahead.
In the specific oceans and whatnot. You know,
and the conversating.
In the conversating.
Come on, man. Come on, let's get. You got me. You got me cranked. Come on, man. Let's get to moving. I'll be making jokes for the rest of the show.
That'll be interesting. So Monday we had a very emotional show. As most of the time we do with most of, you know, we have for most of our shows anyway. But Monday was really impactful and powerful, I think. Definitely tugged at a lot of emotions for not just me and you, but for even the listeners out there. We talked a little bit about the aftermath of the killing of Dante Wright and Kim Potter's sentencing. And then just the next day, we hear about the federal, we did some aftermath of what happened to brother, Ahmaud Arbery, who 2 years ago to this day, February 23rd, 2020, he was hunted and gunned down in Georgia by a father and son, and the neighbor had a cell phone recording of what happened. The McMichaels, the father and son, armed themselves and chased Brother Arbery in a pickup truck as he was running, exercising out in the outside the port city of Brunswick, Georgia. They chased him down and cut him down with their shotgun, just because, you know, what they say, wrong place, wrong time, you know. Something
no,
like
running
that.
Black.
Running black. There we go. That was the other one.
Yeah.
So, so they were found guilty for the hate crime of murder, of killing Brother Arbery. They were already found guilty in the state courts. And then there was some controversy because they tried to form a plea agreement. And not serve, you know, and serve time in a federal prison, and they're trying not to serve time in the state prison. But the judge, at the end of January, the judge did not allow that plea deal to go through. They went ahead and went through with the federal court case, and they were found guilty as well of a hate crime of killing Ahmaud Arbery. So I guess we're still waiting to see exactly what their sentence is, right? They're like, are they going to a state prison or federal prison, or, you know, like, is it just life? Like, we're just still waiting for that information, right, Dad?
I don't know. I kind of, you know, after 2 years, I faded out of all the that aspect of it. I was really too busy still kind of absorbed by the whole process of the, not just the past 2 years, but the accumulation of years before and years and events. So the fact that it was tried and they were convicted of a hate crime, you know, to me is the celebration of sorts. But how do you celebrate the death of another, you know, black life? So
right.
If there is a celebration at all, it's the fact that this is symbolic of a milestone. And in Georgia, on top of it, you know, that, you know, when we're dealing with the reality of
hate crimes versus justice from 2009 to 2019, around about, 89% of hate crimes never made it to trial. So this is, and that's just statistics, reported statistics. You know, there's always the underlying acts that statistics don't capture and cable news doesn't report because they lack information or whatever the case may be. So, you know, all we have to go by is the statistics available. So to me, it's a victory of sorts, you know, something that Trayvon Martin didn't experience. Did I say the name right?
Trayvon.
You know, Trayvon, there you go. I knew there was something I didn't quite get correct in the enunciation, you know. So this is what just wears me down, you know, emotionally and psychically even. But anyway, I won't take that direction right now. We pretty much know where I'm coming from with all that.
Yeah, and
so,
you mentioned...
Yeah, that would be something for us to report, you know, in future shows, what the sentencing time actually is going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, I mean, not... Well, you said that for them to be in Georgia and for them to be found guilty on the state and federal level is a big deal. You know, like at the time when Arbery was killed, Georgia was just one of four states without hate crime law. Like they still didn't have.
There you go, man. Right on. Yeah. Take that.
You know, but they turned it around and quickly got one in there, man. You know, came too late for the state. So, you know, some people might be wondering why is it federal hate in that state? They just didn't have enough time to get a state, you know, charge, you know, just as far as the red tape and the politics involved. But they were still able to get them on the federal level. Oh, I just got some a piece of information here from said they were charged. They were all charged with life sentence. And I believe that is the same person that's in the queue right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, let's keep it moving. So we got, you know, what we were talking about. Cool. So, you know, again, you know, like Monday and Wednesday, just two shows in the same week. We go from Dante Wright and the judge crying, you know, and showing incredible leniency for the perpetrator of the crime. And then we go 2 days later to Wednesday, and we have a situation where, you know, a state in the deep South, like Georgia, you know, tries and convicts three dudes for a hate crime, murder, life sentence. You know, so we have to take, to me, we have to take the sense of victory where we can. And I would imagine there's many folks out there who will use this as some symbolic statement of progress, you know, and we have to take progress where we find it as well. But you said something about politics, you know, great word. And there's no, you know, there's no getting past that when it comes to black folks and justice, you know. So anyway, I just really wanted to, and I'm sorry if I kind of, you know, overstepped you there, but I really wanted to just capture the essence of what, you know, what we're discussing right now and in the time frame that is unveiled. And I realize, of course, that news shows have a lot to cover, and they have, you know, a lot of time to cover it, a lot of time to cover it. Okay, but that's fine. So they're doing that. I don't feel compelled to spend as much time talking about Putin and Ukraine and Trump as I feel to talk about the need for civil rights and equal justice. And right. I do believe this is – I like the brand, and I'm going to be using it, black
Block Talk Radio. It's Black Block Talk Radio, you know. So I like the idea of that, you know, being our focus. And, of course, this isn't, right, this isn't a show for black folks only. It just so happens it's one that's co-hosted by a father and son team. And
right.
I just can't tell you how prideful that makes me. And hopefully it won't come across, that pride won't come across as a sinful thing. You know, because I do believe in St. James' idea of sin, you know, being that which we know to be right and we choose to do wrong, for that person it is a sin. I feel that this is right and we're doing right. So I can't call it a sin if I find pride in it. Amen. That's all I'm saying about that.
Right on. Okay.
Sorry.
Right,
you're amazingly patient with me tonight, man.
Well, I've had a lot of lessons today. Starting early this morning, I had many different lessons with different people at different times and different types of engagement. So tonight,
as did I. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, let me, and this is totally off the subject matter, but I just want to say this real quick. I think there should be a study done, and I don't know how to put this, but I wonder if you can conduct a study about the, how can I put this? The, about society and the way people drive, like, you know, like, I don't know.
And that really is way, that really is way off the track, man. So obviously you got a bone you need to pick or whatever.
I just
so go ahead and get it out, man.
On the road today, man. That's all.
Okay, man.
Yeah,
well,
man,
you know.
I just want everybody out there to be safe on these roads, man, because these cats out here don't care about nothing.
Well,
careful out
there. You know, there was a time when I was coming up, me and your cousin Marty had a saying, you know, that old people, white people, and women can't drive. So, you know, that meant it was only young black men that could. But we ain't young no more, so what do we say now? You know?
So,
hey, man, you know,
yeah.
all cities have that issue. Texas is a hoot and a holler, you know, Chicago, you know, Georgia, Atlanta especially. So, yeah, man, I hear you. But so did you get it out of your system or you need
I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm good. We can get back to our subject matter here. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, just coming back to what you're saying, Attorney Ben Crump sure has been busy, right? You know,
oh,
looks
man.
Like he's evolving into the new Reverend Al.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Monday, you know, he's spokesperson for the Wright family, and then, you know, yesterday he's a spokesperson for the Aubrey family, you know. So right on, Brother Crump, you know, consider yourself to have received a Black Talk Radio applause, man. You know, keep on fighting the good fight, brother. You know, yeah, there you go, my man.
I
got
to put that in.
You know. So, you know, this whole thing, go ahead, man, because I'm taking you off your stride. You know, I apologize.
No, I was on the stride talking about bad drivers, man. And no, and you're on to something here. You know, especially in what we've been looking at the last couple of days and what we've been looking at for the last few generations and decades.
Yeah.
You know, with all these things that are happening. And you know, like Dad said, you know, this is a father and son talk show. Both of us are black Americans, you know, Black Blog Talk Radio. We know that there's other people of color out there that are being cut down and prosecuted as well, you know, but we not y'all, you know, we're black. And this is some things that we know a little bit more about because that's who we are. So I don't want anybody to think that we're, you know, downplaying anybody else's struggle. But, you know, this finding of them guilty in a hate crime, you know, just plain and simple, like you said, in Georgia, you know, it's a victory, but not a victory, you know. I'm sorry, what?
Well, we're dealing with a scene, though, you know, and there's no way to me, and I think I'm speaking for both of us in some degree. There's no way of avoiding the scene of American society. It is very divisive, and it is a nation that is really color phobic. You know, we take Americans and we divide them not just in class, you know, and not just in economy, but in race.
Yeah.
And so that means that I can't be an American. I have to have a parenthesis. You know, I can't be an American of color, let's say. You know, I have to not only be an African American or Black American or colored American or Negro American, you know, but I'm also a minority. You know, and these are the ingrained attitudes that, you know, really permeate the dialogue when it comes to race. Somebody said, and I think we mentioned it on Monday's show, somebody said, when will they learn? No, that's not the issue. The issue is, when will they unlearn? And that's the struggle, to unlearn everything you've been taught that is wrong. You know, I'm not just talking about wrong as far as treatments. I'm talking about wrong as far as accuracy and history wrong. So people generationally have been raised to think of what we call today Black Americans as those who did nothing but slave for a living and now are begging for everything. You know, but people have been raised to believe that. So when we're dealing with these issues of hate crimes, most people don't grasp what that psychically does to the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological behavior of Black Americans. And it, you talk about, I love it when that train kicks in. and until these types of studies, you mentioned studies about drivers. Well, until these kind of studies are done, not done in the overall rank and file like most are in comparatives, but an independent study of the impact of slavery on Americans of color, but also white Americans as well, and the impact of lack of an accurate history. We've had a lot of shows where we've talked about the inaccuracies of history, and one of your favorites had to do with Manifest Destiny, right? And Manifest Destiny stood alone, but we talked about it in connecting the dots, where we could see Manifest Destiny being the hub of the racist wheel that has impacted on all of America. But we as Americans haven't been taught history that way. I was watching this, and I am watching this series called John Adams on HBO, and something happened in the first series that happened real quick, and I think it was like March 4th, the day, and I'm sorry, I'm not up on my history, and I'm talking about it. 1765 or somewhere around there, maybe later on, but I'm not up on what the actual day of the Boston Massacre was. I just remember when I came up to Shorty in grammar school, I heard about the Boston Massacre, but it was always talked about Crispus Attucks being the first person to fall, you know, that led to the American Revolution. So that's been the stretch of my historic understanding. So I'm watching this show, and John Adams is going to be the defender of the British soldiers. But before all that, he's just walking through the crowd of those who have been shot. And real quick, you know, he's just looking at, you know, the adults and the children. And one of the children laying there dead was Black. And I thought, Crispus Attucks. And here's the thing, though. Nobody really knows who fired the first shot, because based on this series, the shot came from somewhere behind the soldiers. But the people were just egging the soldiers on to fire, you know. And so, you know, anyway, just watching that little stretch and recognizing the true depth of history that gets overlooked, because America loves to make itself heroes and loves to brand perpetrators, but it never wants to take ownership of its own perpetuation behaviors. You know, so, you know, just that little thing right away, again, just piqued me to the importance of understanding the lack of American history has done more to bring about these issues and these divisive attitudes about race, you know, through this lack of an understanding of how America has evolved through color, you know, as anything else. And this is where people have to unlearn. And the only way they can do that is by getting an accurate depiction of America. But I really think until black folks are uniquely studied through slavery to understand the psyche of black folks, until it's an independent study and not a comparative where a study's being done, can we even come close to saying, oh, that's no different than white people? Well, let's have the study first and compare. Let's see where we can find some differences in reactions to behaviors. And I'm watching the clock because I know I'm getting cranked and way off the beaten path, you know. But I just don't see how we can, you know, how we can isolate, you know, these moments in justice and use these moments without an understanding of the linkage is what makes it so important as to what makes it so important. This thing, and I realize a lot of America is tired of hearing about black folks being mowed down as they are about hearing about COVID. Well, black folks being mowed down, you know, has been an ongoing issue of American society since slavery. And if folks today are a little bit tired of hearing it, well, too bad. I don't owe you an apology for that, white America. Quite the opposite. It is my inherent charge. It is my responsibility to keep serving it up and keep serving it up. And this little platform that we have is the one I have available to do it, writing books or whatever, encouraging black folks to tell their stories or whatever. This is where we step up to the front lines, you know, and not being worried about offending people because of our drive to keep bringing the issues at hand that have plagued us throughout history. If you get a little bit annoyed, if you get a lot of bit annoyed, for that matter, by hearing this, well, understand, you're only annoyed because you haven't heard it enough, not because you heard it too much. And once you start really hearing it, you understand the true value of understanding why America acts and why America behaves in the way America does. You know, and I would like to say, man, that, you know, I'm going to back off now, but I know I ain't. You know, this is, you know, I've waited 75 years for a chance to talk like this, and I think we've apologized long enough to white people for their behavior and our reaction to it. I don't think we owe any more apologies. Quite the opposite. You know, I think until the dialogue becomes twofold, we'll never hear the apology due. Reparations, hey, that's dope. That's fine. That's cool. No problem. I ain't never seen a buck I didn't like. As long as it's earned, I can't say as long as it's earned, honestly, because I grabbed a few dishonest bucks.
Hey, man, we've earned it, honestly. You know. We've earned it, honestly. Just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. You're right, man. But I wanted a dialogue of understanding. And the dialogue of understanding will promote an expression of apology because it'll be heartfelt. Until that happens, we're going to have to use these moments, man, I believe, anyway. And I know you do, too. You know, to keep exercising our right to free speech.
Absolutely.
Until they pull the plug. Yeah. So, you're a trip, man.
Give your props.
Where's my train?
That was awesome. They didn't come by, so I wanted to hit you up on that. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but, you know, in talking about hate crimes, looking at the history of hate crimes and stuff, from what my research has shown, technically, you know, I'm throwing the two fingers up for quotes, the first hate crime laws passed after the Civil War, right, beginning with the Civil Rights Act of 1871, talking about fighting against the Ku Klux Klan. But when we talk about Manifest Destiny, that was before you know, the Civil War. We're talking early 1800s, if I believe.
Mid-1800s. Yeah, that's right.
So, we're, you know, like with the, I think we mentioned the Louisiana Purchase and the War of 1812, right? And I think that's kind of what started or gave birth to Manifest Destiny of the Continental Expansion, I think. I'm trying to remember all my notes, and I'm sorry I don't have my notes with me. But the whole book
there you go.
I was just noting that the point again is just I'm just really adding more to what you were saying, just as far as just knowing what the history is and connecting the dots the proper way. You know, hate crimes didn't just start in the 60s or, you know, in the late early 1900s. You know, we're talking about what happened to Native Americans. We're talking about Manifest Destiny, the things that we talked about before. But they won't identify it as a hate crime. You know, they'll identify it as the Manifest Destiny, the God-given right to take this land that doesn't belong to me, but I'm going to take it anyway, you know, because God said I could have it, you know. But
and, you know, and but, you know, if I can, let me just interject something.
Sir.
It's not just the taking of the land. You know, it's the destruction of the people. You know, that comes first. You know, it's somehow permission being given to just do this genocide and have absolutely no consciousness around it. Yeah, I heard as a child, you know, going through grammar school that America had its rights to manifest destiny because Indians, and I'm using that word that was used, weren't doing anything to improve the land. So that gave America permission to just mow down anybody who was living in their habitat in the name of progress. And that's the point that it's lost. You know, I'm not concerned about, you know, trying to guilt trip anybody or trying to, you know, even bring it down to its least common denominator. You know, it's the act itself that has been hidden in history. And look, I mean, I grew up watching, you know, cowboy and Indian movie. You know, John Wayne, you know, was a hero to me. You know, John Wayne was a hero, not just in the West, but he was a hero in combat. You know, John Wayne was the symbol of everything that was righteous about America. That's what, you know, was indoctrinated in me, you know, and not having anything else to compare it to, I had to therefore assume that this was righteous. There was nothing else to compare it to. We've gradually, as a people, have started to embrace our history, but still dependent on others to reflect it in our forms of entertainment, instead of it being something that should be learned in every school across America. This should be as readily available and taught as anything about the founding fathers or the history of the 13 original states. You know, there has to be, if we are to improve the image of American society, there has to be an accuracy of the way we depict it. So I apologize again, man, for cutting in on you right there, but please come back to the point you were making.
That, I mean, that was it, you know, taking the land, killing the people, all in the name of their own belief and not about the human race. But
yeah, and not about the human race. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Let's reduce these people, these entities to caricatures of the human race. Therefore, we don't have to have any consciousness about eliminating them. They did it with Indians. They did it with, but they did it with the indigenous tribes of this country. Excuse me. They did it with the Asian populations that, for all practical purposes, built the railroads. You know, and of course they did it with Negroes, and I just can't get enough of saying that word, Negroes, you know. I mean, that must be what came over in those slave ships. I always thought it was Africans, but it was Negroes, you know. So, you know, that, and it worked up to a point. It worked in World War One, World War Two. Yeah, absolutely, because you're defending, you know, the greater world, you know, against tyranny and oppression, you know, okay. But where it failed in the Korean War and where it really failed in the Vietnam War, because suddenly "In God We Trust" didn't apply to military tactics that were done, as you put it, with politics. You know, politics. Suddenly there was no cause, you know, and, you know, it was just about a hidden regime. Yeah, and people don't talk. I mean, people cheer Reagan as an example for, you know, telling, you know, Russia to tear down that wall. You know, that's the big soundbite for Reagan. But what nobody talks about is that Reagan absolutely took no stance on apartheid, none. You know, and so they call him the great communicator. Well, yeah, you can do that when you are, you know, the writer of your own history. But y'all messed up when you gave, you know, black folks the ability to read, you know. And it's like what my man, my hero, Frederick Douglass said, you know, education makes a black man unfit for slavery. Amen. So, you know, here we are again in the closing quarter part of the, I'm going to say that the mass.
That's why I set these shows for 90 minutes and not 60 anymore.
Well, don't tell them, so you ain't supposed to tell folks that. You know, because, man, you can't, you know, that's something that happens. You know, not as an expectation, but as, you know, a need, you know. So, no, it's an hour show. And that's all there is to it. That's all. So just delete what y'all just heard. It's an hour show, you know. But anyway, I don't know, man. I see there's somebody in the queue whose number I recognize. I don't know if this is a good time to bring him in or not. He's kind of like a first-time caller, maybe even be a first-time listener.
I think this is an excellent time to open up the line and bring the caller in.
Okay.
So area code 708-819, area code 708-819. I want to thank you for calling into the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. How you doing tonight, caller?
Oh, man, I'm doing blessed and highly favored. How are you both?
Oh, man.
Hey, there he is.
Oh, man. Man. Wait, hold on. Let me give it to him now.
Yeah.
Let me give it to him now. I know that voice.
Yeah.
What's happening, bro?
What's up, man? Yeah.
What's going on? How you both feeling?
Oh,
it's too early to tell for me.
I don't know, man. I got, as Dad says, I got two of my guys on the line right now. So,
amen.
You know,
amen.
I'm a pig and slop. I'm a R. Kelly at recess. I'm good.
I'm
man.
A possum with a sweet potato.
Right, there we go.
Yeah, oh, so cool. What's up, Armand? Yeah.
Well,
tell
listen,
people
this is,
something about you. What's going on, man?
Well, I will say this is, I feel like this has been a long time coming. And
amen.
Yeah, this is actually the first time that I've actually called in and actually not listen to an archive. So hearing this live and hearing this discussion live, you know, it hits different. So I'm just appreciative of being on the show.
Right. I know, man. Well, you know we're glad to have you, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I always know that.
So where are you right now? Are you home? Are you in Chicago? What's going on?
Yeah. So I'm actually in Chicago right now. I am currently at the house, you know, living it up here. And luckily for me, my students in the school are on break, so I don't have to go back to Boston until Monday.
Nice.
Right on. Okay. Yeah, outstanding. So you're actually going to be in Chicago through the weekend, or you're leaving Thursday, tomorrow?
Well, I was originally going to be leaving tomorrow, but I decided to stay an extra day, so I will be leaving actually Friday night to head back.
Okay, outstanding. And be sure to give the family both my love and, you know, my heartfelt, you know, sympathies, so to say, for lack of a better word to use. You know, I won't go into any, you know, details about all that because I don't want folks to feel that their privacy has been stepped on. But very proud of you, man. Very proud of you.
Well, I appreciate
and for those
it.
Those of you who haven't,
I was just going to say, for those of you out there, you know, the millions of folks who are listening.
Millions!
Armand is my youngest son. So I got my youngest and my oldest on the line. And somewhere back in the background is your neighbor, Armand, Cousin Adam, you know. So,
right.
As a matter of fact, he just gave a weather report. He said, be careful, Armand, snow's coming Friday. You know, he said,
yeah.
Great to hear you and the millions.
The millions?
So, man, I hope this won't be the last time, though. I hope this won't be the first and last, because we still want to get you on the show where you are an interviewee, you know.
Yeah.
Spend some time talking about, you know, your journey to Boston, especially on, mm-hmm. you know, through the lines of the educational connection that, you know, Armand being a graduate of Morehouse, that in itself says enough, but just speaking about, you know, the house and just the road that led you to Boston, man, I think it's, you know, well worth, you know, 15 or 20 minutes spent in dialogue. So I hope we can get you on one day, man.
Well, listen, you just tell me the day and the time, and you know what? I would love to share that story.
You heard that, right, Will?
I'm writing it down, man. I got with my pen and pad. I'm writing it down.
I got my pen and paper. I got my envelope. I got my napkin. I got all that
all right.
together.
All
right. So.
That's what I'm talking about. But you know what? Wally got you on the line, bro. Just real quick while it hit me. I was wondering, as an educator who's, you know, you've worked in different cities, different locations already. It's amazing the experience you've already acquired in such a short amount of time. While dealing with COVID, which is also amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if there's just a little advice or maybe some words of wisdom, any pearls, anything you can give to the audience as our families and our kids are dealing with these changes, dealing with COVID, dealing with changes in mandates and policies and procedures, you know, going virtual or going, you know, face-to-face. Is there just any little thing that you might just want to give the audience and just you know, something that can help them in dealing with these changes and the issues that we go through.
You're talking about the school system, right, Will?
Yes, sir, as far as the school system.
Yeah.
And education. Okay. And education itself.
Yeah. You know, I would say right now, as most people have heard right now, one of the biggest challenges for us as teachers right now, you'll hear a lot about shortages, I guess you can say, in terms of teachers across the nation. And you hear about this, one of the main reasons why there is a shortage of teachers, I guess you can say, is this feeling burnt out, right? And a lot of, you'll hear that from a lot of teachers, whether new or veteran, who have been in it for more than 10 plus years or even 20 plus years. And, you know, I'm feeling it, you know, a lot of my cohort is feeling it as well. And, you know, there's no sugarcoating that. And, you know, I would say that for us that are still in it, you know, the reason why I am a teacher is I am essentially wanting to teach the future leaders of this country and of our world, essentially, and giving them, you know, the education that they rightfully deserve. And, you know, me being in Boston, dealing and working a lot with Black and Latinx students and, you know, in a public school in the heart of Boston, you know, it's, you know, one thing I've learned a lot from my students is that there's no shame in being vulnerable. There's no shame in being honest and upfront with students. And there's no shame in, you know, sharing your feelings in terms of whatever it is that you're feeling. I remember last year with the whole, or maybe it was 2 years ago, with the whole George Floyd incident and how that whole journey started. And you know, when that started, I remember actually I was back here in Chicago and I was you know teaching you know sixth graders, and you know these are what 11, 12 year old kids, and you know with something as powerful as you know the whole situation with George Floyd, you hear these students have these very insightful responses and thoughts in terms of, you know, what's going on.
Right.
And,
yeah.
you know, I feel like in our community, that really starts at a young age, right? We have these conversations at a young age with kids in terms of, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, like America being very divisive and kind of split. And so, you know, we start those conversations with these kids at an early age. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to start that so young, but unfortunately it's a reality that we have to deal with. And so, you know, and that's brought into the classroom at points as well. And so, you know, that's why I always bring up about there's no shame in, you know, bringing your feelings and sharing your thoughts with the whole entire classroom and being upfront with them, because, you know, with me being a black man and being a black teacher, you know, I feel like, you know, some students have said already that they kind of gravitate towards me because I'm one of them. I guess there are times in which knowing that and having that privilege, I'm using quotations here.
I got you.
You know, that's where my classroom can really start to, you know, open up those dialogues and those conversations. And, you know, it's hearing student perspective and having them share their feedback and, you know, having this back and forth with them, it's special. And you know, that's one thing I'm truly grateful for having when becoming a teacher, when being a teacher right now.
Man, check you out. You know, we definitely need to. Yeah, there he is. That's Black Block Talk Radio, man, acknowledging you, man, right on. We definitely need to get you back, you know, on this, if for no other reason, and people can call me selfish, I don't care. We have an opportunity for me, unique in itself, to have representatives of three generations, right, Will? You know, and I'm speaking on any general topic that's affecting American society today. I got father pride right now busting through my chest with both of you guys, and I don't have any problem, any qualms admitting it, man. Armand, your articulation is amazing. For me, you know, to hear you articulate in the way you have this evening is phenomenal. And I'm not going to embarrass you anymore. Right on. You know, I hope your ma had a chance to hear you.
She had a chance to hear me.
All right. Outstanding. And how's the little lady doing? The missus?
Hey, you know, she's working hard. She's doing her thing back in Boston with her research.
Okay.
And
she didn't make the trip with you. Okay. All right.
No, I was the only one that made the trip this time.
Okay.
He's talking about check out Dr. Black Boots on the gram. Dr. Black Boots on the gram. Check her out.
Yeah. Just give a quick give not just a shout out to your wife, but a quick little thumbnail about, you know, her credentials, if you will.
Yeah, I will do my best, because I know that I cannot do justice for all the accomplishments that she has done. You know,
right. Well, don't try to do all of them.
I won't. Quick highlights, you know. My wife, Simone, she received her PhD in biomedical engineering at Georgia Tech.
Wow.
And she's currently working at MIT in Massachusetts, in Cambridge.
Yeah.
And she actually just accepted an offer to be a part of the Georgia Tech staff, where she will be conducting her own lab and
you can say that?
Having her own students. Yep, I think I can say that, hopefully.
Okay, all right.
Well,
all
right. Don't matter, you did.
He did not.
Well, if I, you know, I'm sorry, you know, if I cut the gun, but I'm pretty sure it's official now, so.
That's all right.
I think there's no shame in saying that now.
That's all right.
Jump the gun, I apologize, honey.
You're not offended anybody out here, man.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Just do some extra honey.
Yeah. Amen, man. Yeah. So are you going to stick around for a while? You know, you're more than welcome to.
We'll be
wrapping it up pretty soon. So, you know, if you can, you know, if you want to hang with the show for a little while, we'll keep your mic open.
I'm happy to stick around.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep the mic open, so, you know, you know, you do what you can. Cool. Awesome, man. Good to have you here tonight. What a show.
Man.
Listen, I appreciate being on here, and, you know, it hits differently when we're live and I'm not listening to an archive of what I missed out.
Yeah. Awesome. This is live. This ain't a rerun. Right on, man. All right. I love you, man. Don't go anywhere. Stay there, man, if you can. You know,
I
know that
you're
pressed
with
a lot of responsibilities. Yeah. And I know you have a lot of responsibilities going on right now through back in Chi. Well, Country Club Hills, to be exact, right?
You ain't got to give him the exact address, man. Come on.
I didn't give him the exact address. Country Club Hills is a big city, you know. It's like saying I'm giving your address by saying you live in Riverdale, you know, or mine because I live in Frisco. You know, I'd be like, there's enough people of color surrounding us, and so nobody say, there they are. All right, Armand. Yeah, man. Thanks so much for calling in. I see you got another caller in the queue. I'm trying to recognize that number, Will, but I'm not sure I got it.
Let's see. We have area code 630-660. Area code 630-660. Thanks for calling in tonight to the Greenhouse Effect. How you doing?
It's your cousin, man.
What's up? Watch out.
Hey, Kuzo, what's up, man? It's family night today.
And I was just checking in, man, you know, because I never get a chance to call in because I'm always working. So,
right.
You know, I couldn't see the end of our mind. And man, that was just, man, listen to you three guys. Shoot, I have nothing to say, man.
Well, we know that's a lie.
Man, that was
it's great to hear your voice. We haven't talked to you on this show since you gave us the rundown about the Pro Slide. And we've been wanting to bring you back to update us on, you know, the progress. But I just want to familiarize folks with, you know, this cousin Marty, you know, the inventor, you know, also an educator. On many levels. I'm surrounded by educators. Will, Armand, Mart, right on, man. I'm loving this. So, you know,
and you,
holler at us,
and
man.
You. And drop you. Some, you had two classes.
I'm more of the educated than the educator. You know, they're still trying to get me out of high school.
So says the man with three books working on number four, but I digress.
Yeah,
right.
Man, what's going on out there in the inventor world these days?
Nothing, man. I was laughing today. I went out went to the store, and it was so I felt so cold. It reminded me when I was in Texas with you at one point at 11:30 at night. How could it be this hot? That's how I felt today. I thought about you. I said, how could it be this cold, man?
nuts. But just so y'all won't feel like there's an inside joke going on, Mark came and visited. He actually didn't visit. It was a women's professional bowler stop going on.
Yeah, we were on
in Plano.
Yeah.
And Mark spent, you spent about 3 days here, right? Something like that. And the last night of the tour, the last night of the tournament, we stepped outside of the bowling alley. It's like 11. And I don't know, it must have been like 85 or something like that. Mark just stood there, you know, in the middle of the night with his arms stretched out, looking up and saying, "Hot, hot, hot. How can you people sleep in this?"
Justin,
what are you saying in the world to me, man? So you had just the reverse with the code, huh? Code. How can people live like this? That is funny, man. So any update on the pro slide, man? I know you're hanging in there. I know you're slugging away. You had somebody who had quite a bit of success in some amateur stop not too long ago, right?
Yeah, when we were in Las Vegas with the player Capri Howard, who I'm getting ready now to play in two professional women events in May, and again, she's the, you know, she doesn't like to hear this, but you know, her little brother is Ed Howard, who was drafted by the Cubs,
right.
And that
ain't the bowl.
it's not the bowl either. You know? So that's pretty, you know, that's kind of the focus now. You know, it's in the hands of an agent, the pro slide is, and we're just kind of moving. It's moving at whatever pace the good Lord has it moving at.
Amen. Amen. Real quick, what does the pro slide do? Let's get a plug in for the pro slide.
Yeah, right. So I'm a bowler, you know, and it's for people who bowl, not on a professional level necessarily at all, but for the person who goes to the bowl once in a while just to have some fun and does not want to wear rental shoes. So this is a cover that goes over athletic shoes, over your Nikes or your Adidas or your Skechers. It doesn't matter, and allows you to bowl comfortably in your own shoes. You know they fit. You know there aren't any issues of hygiene because they're on your own shoes. And no unfamiliar odor. So it just allows the person to just bowl in their shoes. So you get together with your buddies or, you know, your girlfriends, and you're just stopping up at the bowl to have a burger, and now you can bowl in your own shoes, and you won't have to use the rental shoes. That's the marketing strategy. So,
in my bowling bag, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
In my bowling bag, I have a pair of Nikes that I've dedicated, you know, to being my bowling shoes. So I have my pro slide over my Nikes. So when I, you know, there's no having to put them back on. Just those shoes are dedicated, you know, to my bowling. You know, so, man, it's like I'm putting on my gym shoes to go bowling. I tell y'all, you know, I've been bowling for years on a recreational level, and there's nothing that I have found more satisfying than to slip on something that is so comfortable to my feet to wear, and the degree of relief that it allows my calves and my knees to experience. It's an amazing thing. People might think, "Oh, what's the big deal?" Well, you don't know a big deal until you try it. That's a big deal to be able to wear the most comfortable athletic shoe. Go ahead, man. Yeah.
No, and the numbers are out there. I mean, there's over supposedly 60 to 70 million Americans bowl every year, and probably 90% of them
again.
Are just recreational bowlers.
Yeah, say that number again. We're talking about what, Will? We're talking about the what, Will?
Millions.
and so it really aimed at them that just the recreational bowlers and with if they had a choice would not wear rental shoes. So something that they could, And we'll have to see how the marketing strategy works, whether it's something that's rented or people will be able to buy it, obviously. So, you know, we're in prayer about it. You know, we've got a patent.
Amen.
So it's patent.
Yeah.
So we're just moving at whatever the pace is that the good Lord is in his hands, because we've done all we could do.
And I just want to take a couple more minutes just to acknowledge another side of that. So we're not just talking about an inventor. You know, when it comes to educator as well, we're talking about someone who is providing scholarships. Say a little bit about that, man.
Mm.
Yeah, I my passion is teaching this, so I have discovered. It only took me, didn't take me quite as long as Moses to figure out what I was supposed to do in this life.
But almost.
I enjoy almost that long. But I enjoy, you know, I do instructions, you know, in the Chicago area. And over the years, there's probably over 50, 55 young people that I've taught who have gone on to bowl in college on scholarship. So I've got like four or five that I'm working with right now who will be who will bowl in college on scholarship. Some with a full ride, who don't have to pay a dime.
Man,
but they're you know they're accomplished.
Yeah.
there's a black blog talk radio acknowledgement, man.
Thank you, sir. Make it free that I've worked with. She graduated from Jackson State last year, and she bowled 4 years at Jackson State. And she's bowled on ESPN.
And bowled on ESPN as well. Jackson State, another historically black college university being acknowledged here. Man, beautiful, man.
Yep, yep.
Mark, thanks so much for calling in, man. I think we need to we've gone a little bit over our allotted time, so – You know, believe me, I can keep this going for the rest of the night, man. I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate, you know, the calling in. How much we appreciate. I'm sorry, Bill. You know,
so
you got me in that host mode. Yeah, man. So, Mark, again, thanks, man, for calling in. Armand, we'll be talking for sure. Well, Mark, I know we're going to be talking, too. I was trying to coerce Adam into queuing in, but I guess he's going to play Shy Guy this evening. Which this is right.
You know, he'd probably say since Marty came in, he was like he'd just step back and let his uncle go ahead and have his time on the mic. So you know something like that. I don't know. I'm giving Adam a way out. What can I say? Hey, let me add though, cousin Marty, man. Yes, the Pro Slice, ladies and gentlemen, is awesome. You know, Dad mentioned just the convenience of putting it on his nights. You know, I have a pair of bowling shoes that I still use with the Pro Slide, only because, I mean, I just like the way my particular bowling shoe feels on my ankle and my support. But I don't have any slide on these bowling shoes, so I hooked up with Marty, man, and I got a pair of these Pro Slides to just put it over the bowling shoe, and it's so convenient.
Yep.
Easy to clean as well. You know, I don't have to worry about losing the slide if I buy a pair of bowling shoes. You know, I just take care of the Pro Slide. My scores have already increased. I mean, I'm probably shooting maybe 25 pins better since I've got it, maybe 30 if I really work at it, you know. So it's been awesome.
Which is a lot. Right on. Of course, that means now he's averaging 130.
Yeah, that's it, man. It's an easy 135, man. I'll tell you, I'll put money on it.
I'm teasing. Yeah, I'm teasing. Man, this has been a lot of fun tonight. I mean, it's really taken the edge over the trauma that we've been talking about for the past few shows. So, you know, I'm really thanking you guys in particular for the efforts put through tonight's show, man. Me personally, this has really kind of lifted me away from, you know, the dross, you know, of social neglect. I'm really appreciating this time spent, man. I love you guys. Love you to the bottom of my heart.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I appreciate having a, just calling in to say hello, and it turned into just an opportunity to talk about my passion. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah. You can expect that anytime you cue in, cuz.
Absolutely.
And that's not even to mention background, being the Dean of Student Services at Olive Harvey, and I forgot what your title was at Malcolm X.
Yeah, it was the same thing, Dean of Student Personnel Services, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't remember because I was in the ozone back when you were at Malcolm. I have to just take your word for that. I can't prove it or disprove it. I just have to take your word. But Olive Harvey, oh yeah, I was there. I was conscious of Olive Harvey. Yeah, amen. Yeah, your cousin got me enrolled in school. Will, sure
got you
did.
What?
Amen. Enrolled at Olive Harvey.
Enrolled. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And I still have this this paperweight. It's, if y'all can imagine, it's about 5 pounds, and it's light blue, and it's got this writing on it that looks like, you know, the stuff you see on medicine, you know, on prescription medicine. And he handed it to me, and I took it, and I said, "Well, what's this?" And what did you say, Mark? It's a hard pill to swallow. and I still use it today. Yeah, I pass it around and ask everybody. You know, they always get a kick out of that, man. So, all right, y'all. Thank you all so much. Right on. And Adam, we see you out there, man. Love you, too. All right, Will.
Yeah, man.
Land this airplane, bro.
Oh, man. That's the end of the show. I was ready for more. I don't know about the rest of y'all, ladies and gentlemen. But this is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. We provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. And Cuz O Marty, thank you for dialing in tonight. Little Big Bro Arma, I see you back there, man. Keep taking care of the family. I'm going to try to catch you before you jet up out of here. Adam, what's up? And everybody else that's listening, rather to the live show or to the recorded show as well. Don't forget, all our shows are archived and saved on all kind of your favorite podcast listening platforms. Dad, great show tonight, man. You know.
Hey, amen. Great job.
Until Monday, the last show in February. We will see you all again. Please be safe out there. Watch those crazy drivers. And I don't care what you say, at least wear a mask.
Amen. Amen.
Good
night.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Amen.
I can't remember why I'm feeling this way. Yes, I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you'll stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say. Thank you.
time.